Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com. You'd think that maybe, they'll be like brain teasers will be on there, or crossword puzzles.
Okay. You know,
something exciting like that. At least that's what you think, maybe.
Eat these foods, maybe.
It's all the boring ones. Yeah, right. Listen, it's all the boring ones.
Stay active, eat better, maintain a healthy weight, don't smoke, get plenty of sleep, and control your blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood sugar.
So,
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Today, day three of in-person absentee voting in Wisconsin, and an important system used to facilitate that very effort is still not properly functioning. More on that in a moment. First, some big numbers to report here, E. Updated as of Wednesday, nearly 10,000 people in Wisconsin voted in-person absentee already. That's a two-day number. We had 4,000 city of Milwaukee just day one, right?
On Tuesday, yeah.
Meanwhile, mail-in votes, absentee ballots either collected via Dropbox or mailed back to clerk's offices, topping 465,000. So bringing those totals together, fast approaching 500,000 people in Wisconsin who've already voted. So that bodes better for election day lines. Also tells you that folks are excited to get out there and vote one way or another.
One of the suggestions I heard yesterday was, just give it a couple of days maybe. You don't need to do the early voting today or tomorrow. Give it till Friday maybe.
Yes, then if you're early voting because you hope to avoid lines and then you end up waiting in a line. All right. In-person absentee voting, as it's called, at the whims of your local clerk. Check with that office for days and times in your community. It can legally run through next week Sunday, though most communities will wrap up a week from Friday. Meanwhile, Wisconsin Elections Commission acknowledging that one of its systems that is used to print labels for the absentee ballot envelopes. So when you vote in-person absentee, you fill out a ballot, but then that still goes in an absentee envelope.
Okay.
The labels they print out on there uses this system, and that system is still running slow. Statement from the commission. WEC staff learned Wednesday that the system delay is not just affecting WIS vote label printing. Appears also to be affecting some non-election-related state systems as well. High levels of in-person absentee voting do still appear to be compounding the issue. They say they've got IT on it. They're working on it.
You try restarting it?
Is it plugged in? You turn it off and turn it back on again. Yes. It's not down. It's just slow. And clerks can handwrite the information that would otherwise be printed on these labels. So that's an option. There's nothing that's preventing it, but that's obviously a slower process. One of the reasons that could be contributing to some of these longer lines. 7:15, sports up next.
You got to get out and vote.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Philly isn't in the Eastern time zone. It's on Dame time. That's what the clock read on Wednesday night.
Back to Dame. Dame, long bomb. Yes, sir. Damian Lillard buries one from about 30 feet away.
Logo Lillard, sometimes you could call
Here's a three-pointer from Lillard, and he strikes again. His assault continues from three-point range. Dame now sitting with 29 points.
Yes, the Bucks would lead by as many as 22 as they beat up on the Philadelphia 76ers. The final 124-109. So Lillard, 30 points, Giannis, 25, and 14 rebounds. Taurean Prince, the newest Buck, had 16, so did Bobby Portis. So they did really well. They did all right. Now, we should point out that Philly did not have Joel Embiid or Paul George, but who cares? A dub's a dub, and you again beat 76ers to start the season, so we'll take it.
We should also point out we have 81 games to go.
This is true.
But a great start.
Bucks head to Milwaukee. The home opener is tomorrow night at a Fiserv. They will host the Chicago Bulls.
Little week after Aaron Rodgers fired him, after the Jets fired him, Packers head coach Matt LaFleur brought former Jets head coach Robert Saleh to Green Bay.
Again, he's one of my closest friends, and so we immediately talked, and I didn't try to put any pressure on him whatsoever. I just said, hey, if you want to stay involved or whatever, the opportunity would be here if you wanted it.
Well, opportunity to do what exactly? Right? These guys are old buddies. LaFleur saying Saleh, whose strength is defense. Right, I don't think he didn't call the plays offensively for the Jets, right?
No.
He's a defense guy, right?
Yes.
So he's supposed to be in Green Bay today as well, helping the Packers offense. He's not there, LaFleur says, to replace or even work with new defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley on that side of the ball.
So you could talk
about
that.
Happy with that.
Here's how I would attack your offense. Here's the flaws that me as a defensive guy would see, and then you can counteract that.
You've got the Jaguars this week. They're going to chip your tight end off here. You can't expect to get that. That kind of thing. Mostly, I think, just LaFleur wanted to hang out with his buddy, crack some beers, and swap stories about Aaron Rodgers.
You think so?
Absolutely. These guys have been friends for like 20 years and only 40-something, so been friends for the better part of their lives. Thursday Night Football, Vikings coming off their first loss of the season Sunday. They've got the Rams in Los Angeles tonight. That's a 7:15 p.m. kick if you need some NFL football. And Badgers volleyball on the air tonight. Bucky on the road playing Indiana. Match starts at 6 p.m. We've got a pregame show at 5:30 right here on WTMJ. It's 7:23 on Wisconsin's Morning News. This could be a breakthrough in a stalled negotiation between the Green Bay Packers and the city of Green Bay over the long-term future of Lambeau Field.
You have 12 alders here today who are unanimously standing here saying that we support the mayor's position on this. And when was the last time you've ever seen a city council be unanimous on anything?
Wow. City council anywhere, anytime, any place.
Wow.
Fair political point. That is Brian Johnson. He's president of the city council in Green Bay, saying they support Mayor Eric Genrich, who is staring down the Green Bay Packers in a feud that the Packers took public last week, accusing the mayor of stonewalling and holding up negotiations on a lease deal that would extend out 20 or 30 years. That's the background here. Lambeau Field opened as city stadium in 1957, jointly owned now by the city of Green Bay and a stadium district in Brown County. The Packers are tenants. They don't own the stadium, so they need a deal. Current lease expires in 2032. Packers want a long-term deal before they dump what they say would be an additional $1.5 billion into stadium improvements over the coming decades. The full Green Bay City Council, all 12 members, appeared for a news conference on the banks of the Fox River on Wednesday. And as Eric predicted, every last one of them showed up in Packers gear.
We want to, first and foremost, kind of acknowledge, right, we're all wearing Packers gear. And that's intentional.
All right.
Jerseys. One lady looked like she had like a, one of the older women had like a knit sort of sweater, like
hey, go homemade
pack. Packers there. Yeah, we had jerseys. We had all of that there. Johnson, council president, saying, look, we're all fans. Others took great pains to show just how big of fans they are. Jennifer Grant, chair of the finance committee.
My grandfather's uncle, Dominic Olenicek, is the reason we have season tickets where four generations have been able to sit.
Yep. Yeah, my grandfather's uncle's brother's son graduated with a kid at Preble High. And right.
Yeah, you saw it coming.
Yes. Actually, Olenicek is a big name up there in Green Bay, if you know those parts. I explained earlier, though, Eric, I went to college up there, St. Norbert in De Pere, just outside of Green Bay. I lived and worked in Green Bay after that. The people of Green Bay are obviously fans of their team. They love Jordan Love. They love the Sunday afternoon game. But not all of them have the same feelings about the corporate entity that is the Green Bay Packers. And if you listen to it, that's the rub here.
Our city may thrive with the Packers, but the Packers also thrive because of the people of the city and its rich history. The very city that has consistently supported the Packers in time of financial need, whether through stadium taxes or stock certificates.
Yeah, so maybe folks in the national media who visit Green Bay on Sundays might find this surprising that there's this public battle. They'd think it's a slam dunk. Surprises me not at all, based on that sort of undercurrent and that sort of uncomfortable thing. You know, the folks who live in Green Bay think the Packers sort of push them around a little bit and sort of do whatever they want. And so there is a little bit of that strain. Packers came out last week saying, what gives? We have been talking to the mayor, to the city for years about this. We're not asking for additional taxpayer support. We're not asking for a referendum. And they're saying they broke off negotiations. They won't even meet with us. They're holding this up. Alderman Bill Galvin said, nah, there's more to it.
We had a lot of substantially good meetings where a lot of verbal agreements were made. When we asked them for a written agreement, it took them literally months upon months to send us a written offer, which when we got it, was nothing like what we had talked about.
Yeah, so the council says, it doesn't look like anything we agreed to. We've been talking, and then you send us this, and this isn't what we were talking about. So let's move this thing beyond the public urination match that it is at this point, get down to the process. Following the news conference, Green Bay media reporting that they got a statement from the Green Bay Packers. And this is what they say. It said, the Packers were pleased to see the Common Council express having interest of the taxpayers in mind as they discuss the extension of Lambeau Field lease, as the taxpayers are precisely whom the Packers have considered through their proposals that, unlike virtually all other recent stadium deals, did not request taxpayer funding. And then this quote, much of what they said about the negotiations was mischaracterized, but that is because they were not involved in the negotiations and unfortunately have been misinformed. Without regard for all of that, here's what the Packers are proposing now. Number one, Packers will invest $1.5 billion into Lambeau Field. Two, taxpayers will have no obligation in that investment. And three, the extended lease includes the current rent escalator as the city requested and extends 30 years. So that's been one of the primary sticking points. The Packers initially said, we don't want to pay an additional 2.75% more every year in rent that goes up automatically. Rent now about $1.1 million. But now it seems like they are willing to capitulate based on the statement.
Okay.
On that.
So all's well that ends well?
We'll see.
We are fans of this team, and we think it's important that we have that conversation, that none of us here are doing anything that we feel jeopardizes the future of the team here in the city of Green Bay.
Why is the former head coach of the Jets, who just got fired, roaming the sidelines in Green Bay? That and the Bucks get a win in their opener. We got sports at 7:45.
There are some simple things you can be doing to keep your brain healthy right now. So there's always new studies, new brain function studies by the American Academy of Neurology. They've identified eight things now, Vince, that you should do to reduce your risk of stroke, dementia, and depression.
Okay.
So when I saw these headlines, I was super excited. You'd think that maybe, there'll be like brain teasers will be on there, or crossword puzzles.
Okay.
You know, something exciting like that. At least that's what you'd think, maybe.
Eat these foods, maybe.
It's all the boring ones. Yeah, right. Listen, it's all the boring ones.
Stay active, eat better, maintain a healthy weight, don't smoke, get plenty of sleep, and control your blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood sugar.
So, it's basically all the things that we're told to do all the time.
For everything. Brain function and everything else.
Oh,
that's
not one unique fun one. Like
you're looking for like a hack.
Yes.
Do this and your brain will be great.
Floss your teeth more or something. I don't know. Give us something.
Well, you should be doing that. Surprised that didn't make the list.
I don't know. Maybe you know what? We should look at it optimistically. Yeah, it's pretty exciting and easy to not go through dementia and strokes.
Actually, I mean, just check yourself. You're in fantastic shape, aren't you?
Stay active, eat better, maintain a healthy weight, don't smoke, get plenty of sleep, and control your blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood sugar.
This news report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com.
Stay active, eat better, maintain a healthy weight.
You know it when you hear it, that iconic sound. Yes, talking about Harley Davidsons. When you hear it, you know it, right? Especially around here, Milwaukee's motorcycle maker. Everyone loves to hear. Even if you don't have a Harley, you at least like to know when the local business is doing well. So is it doing well right now?
So the dealers are in the situation where the riding season is ending and they have all these bikes on their lots. And they have to pay floor plan financing to, you know, for this inventory. So they're going to have to discount to try to get people to buy.
That's the Milwaukee Business Journal's Rich Kirchen on WDTMJ's The Upswing on Wednesday. Why were no one buying motorcycles? Well, Rich says some of the experts think it's because some bought some during the pandemic. So they're just not in line to buy another one at the moment. Interest rates also an issue. Certain people have different issues with the economy at the moment, so those are all playing into a role. But you have all these bikes sitting on these lots for these dealers, so what do you do? Well, the Q3 numbers are out this morning. What was the expectation?
Last quarter, it was sort of surprising how strong their sales were, and that's because they were still shipping bikes to dealers. Yeah. They record that as a sale. I think I would be looking for a double-digit percentage decrease in their sales and shipments. And the company has said their profits are going to be under pressure for the short term.
So Harley announcing a little bit better than expected revenue for Q3 this morning, but sales did fall 25% year on year. So sales are down. The revenue wasn't as bad as anticipated, but the numbers coming out now are starting to dissect it this morning.
That's the hard part about Wall Street, though. You're a publicly traded company, so you can still do robust sales. You can still be a profitable company, but it's bad news, bad news, bad news, because you're not growing.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly if you're retracting, you know what they say in business, if you're not growing, you're dying. So there is that, but you know, it's tough because you still are running a profitable business.
Right, yes.
People are still buying motorcycles.
Revenue's still down. May not be as down as much as you thought maybe, but it's still down.
People are still in love with your brand.
Yes.
Right, and there's all of that. So for some of these dealerships, we talked about it earlier, for many of them, they're starting to shift, if not away from the sales. Obviously, that's still the lifeblood of what they do, but finding ways to make revenue based around events. You have the annual homecoming now, so all the dealers do their own things. They got stages, they got setups, they have concessions with that. They sell a whole bunch of gear. You know, are you a clothing retailer as opposed to a motorcycle retailer?
Can you make a lot of money
At least both. Can you make enough to still be what you are? That's the important
question.
744, we got sports coming up next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
You could call the reboot Giannis Dame 2.0. And it looked pretty good after one.
The handoff, he gets it to Lillard, right back to Giannis. Giannis has a couple of defenders converge, but they can't stop him. Good two-man game there. We've been waiting to see that. That Dame-Giannis two-man game, and Giannis exploits the defense down low on the feed from Dame.
Yes, Lillard would lead the game, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Giannis 25-14-7 as the Bucks beat up on the 76ers. In game one of the NBA season, 124-109, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Giannis and Dame working together. Last year didn't always seem to work. Not that they didn't like each other, but they couldn't get into a flow. After the game, Lillard telling reporters, well, it definitely helps to have more time together.
You got to be comfortable. You got to have understanding. You got to be on the same page. And I think our time last year, the summer, and then, you know, being in Milwaukee a little bit early before camp, and us being able to connect, you know, it's been really helpful.
Yes, sir. So they're back at it again tomorrow night. The home opener at Fiserv. It's the Bucks and the Bulls.
You know what they said on the broadcast as well, watching on TV? They said Dame, like, changed his diet, went to a sleep specialist, focused on his physical health. Now, he looks like he's in great shape, so all of that can contribute.
Lots of talk about the surging popularity of the WNBA. Well, could Milwaukee be in the mix now? The Sports Business Journal says the Bucks ownership group is interested in a WNBA expansion team. They've submitted a proposal for a new franchise. League is considering proposals from a lot of cities, so it's not just Milwaukee saying, hey, yeah, we'd be interested. There's a lot.
Has WNBA said it's going to expand, and by how many teams?
We don't know a number of teams. Don't even have a timeline.
Okay.
But obviously the time is now, given the excitement and the energy and the popularity of the league right now. The time is now to at least consider this stuff. So we'll see if Milwaukee can get in on that.
While we're on women's sports, you got Badgers volleyball on WTMJ tonight, 5:30 pregame for a 6 o'clock match on your home for the Badgers here. WTMJ, we've got Indiana on the road. Vikings play tonight in Thursday Night Football. You got the Rams in Los Angeles just days after suffering their first loss of the season at the hands of the Lions. That's a 7:15 p.m. kick. And in Green Bay, that time your buddy got fired at work and you gave him a job. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur bringing recently fired Jets head coach Robert Saleh to help out the Packers this week.
We've been close for a really long time. We were roommates together back at Central Michigan, so we thought it was a good idea just to bring him here, and he's helping us on the offensive side of the ball. I think that's always a good deal to have that perspective, you know, that defensive perspective on that side of the ball. So
they were roommates at Central Michigan.
And apparently LaFleur stood up, was best man in Saleh's wedding years ago.
So they know things about each other that no one else know.
They're those kind of best friends, right? You know, your oldest friends sometimes are the ones that know who you really are.
Saleh sees LaFleur's kids and says, yeah, man, I know stuff about your dad that you'll never hear about.
Yeah, I know he tells you this, but that's not how it was, right? There's all of that. It did raise eyebrows, I will mention, because Saleh's forte is defense.
Right.
Packers defense, pretty good right now, right? And you got new guy in there, Jeff Hafley, running things really well. So LaFleur doubling down, saying, look, I promise you, this guy is not here to replace Hafley. He's not even here to help Hafley. It's got nothing to do with the defensive side of the ball. It really reads like just, hey, my guy needed a little something. I brought him in here. And I really think the two of them are just cracking beers and ripping on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I think that's really the primary motivator. Let's ask Tausch about it next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Idea Man.
They feel like this guy can come in and he's a better kicker than what they had, and they can help this team win.
Innovator.
I still think he's going to be aggressive until McManus proves that he can make a bunch of 45-yard field goals plus.
I hope we see that on Sunday then.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
Just came here on Wednesday. He's got this to win it. Low snap, the kick.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Roaming the sidelines in Green Bay, the guy who Aaron Rodgers fired last week. Head coach of the New York Jets. or got fired. Or had nothing to do with.
Yeah, I saw that. And I think a lot of times that happens, you know, with a guy got fired, and then that next season, you know, you're under contract yet and getting paid from the Jets, so your buddy is, oh, you know, I'll give you a consulting job, so that money doesn't cost against what the Jets are paying. This is, I'd have to think this is unprecedented from a timing standpoint. I mean, he literally got fired a week ago, and he's showing up, and I thought, well, he's showing up just to say hi to his best buddy. But I think there's a lot here. I think it's kind of a really interesting that Matt LaFleur decided to do this, that Robert Saleh wanted to. And I thought the most important part, and I heard you guys talking about this before I jumped on, is to make sure this isn't to shadow over what Jeff Hafley's doing. This is about looking at Matt LaFleur's offense, and Robert Saleh, by all accounts, has been a great defensive coordinator. The head coach was not, it didn't work for him. To sit there and be able to get into your best buddy's ear and say, what are you doing here? Or this is what I can tell this is what's coming here. To really give you an ombudsman approach to your offense from someone that isn't going to be afraid of your status or can just shoot straight with you. I love this move because I think it's very unique, and I think it can help without doing any of the kind of undercutting of a defensive coordinator that everybody feels really good about.
For sure, too. They're out at the campfire that night. Hey, let's have a fire in the backyard, popping beers and ripping on Rodgers, right?
They don't have time for that during the season.
At night, yes, they do. He's staying at Maddie's house, Tausch, and they're out back on the patio. Hey, so tell me, how about
so
this guy?
So I would... I am curious if he's staying at LaFleur's house or if he's staying up at Lodge Cole, whatever. But there's no doubt, if you don't think that Aaron Rodgers' name has come up in those conversations, absolutely. And I'm sure, you know, coaches, NFL coaches, it's obviously a high-pressure job, and the workload is intense. But by the end of the week, you know, you start getting to Thursday, Fridays, yeah, you're going to want to go get a dinner and hang out and just to be able to decompress. And I'm sure for Matt LaFleur, that's one of the best parts of this whole thing is you got a guy that you grew up in the coaching world with, best man at your wedding. You can just chop it up. Like, you can't do that with a lot of people at this point. He knows a lot of the same things. I dealt with Aaron Rodgers for 2 years. I was a head football coach. So to be able to have that relativity and to be able to have those conversations when you know you'd love to have them with other people, but then things would get right. Leaked. You know, this is going to be two people. Some of the only, you get McCarthy up there and you really have a three-pronged approach of having some really common things to talk about. I'm sure it's a real relief.
Oh, to be a chipmunk in the yard during that conversation. Hear that.
McCarthy, can you imagine if Mike gets fired?
Job.
Mike gets fired by Dallas before the season ends. And if we see all three of those guys up in the greater Greenville. Now, I don't envision that one happening. But this one, I think for all of us as Packer fans, the question always is, does this help your football team win games? And I don't know how it could hurt. I think it's only going to help because you get another set of eyes. And you get someone that can help your coach stay in a great frame of mind mentally. I think it's awesome.
Hey, Tausch, I don't know if you followed it at all, but there's an odd move by the Packers because they like to keep things pretty under wraps at 1265 Lombardi. But last year, the Packers came out and openly cracked on the mayor of Green Bay, accusing him of stalling the stadium long-term lease deal. City Council came out yesterday, all 12 members wearing Packers gear for their news conference, and said, nah, we're negotiating good faith. We're trying to protect the taxpayers. Either way, I've explained to E, having lived up there and worked there, there's a difference for folks who are Packers fans who like their Sunday afternoon game versus how they feel about the corporate entity that is the Green Bay Packers.
I just think there's a lot. It's a much different shift. Obviously, what Mark Murphy has done has been big time from a business standpoint than back in the old days with, you know, Bob Harlan answering his own phones and things like that. It's different. The NFL has grown, you know, exponentially. And so, yeah, I think everybody loves having the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay. I think the Packers, obviously, it's great for all sides. I would guess, cool as always, cooler heads prevail. I think there's always a lot of jockeying when you start talking about the amounts of money that I'm sure are at play here with taxes and all the other stuff. It always will get worked out, but it is, as you said, Vinny, it's rare that you and everybody else, media and fans, get a chance to see. It's going to always be better. Let's keep all this stuff in-house. You don't need to see how this sausage is made because it ain't pretty, I'm sure.
Thanks, Tausch. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks, bud.
See you guys.